have a pair of tickets to see Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings at the London Music Hall in London, Ontario on Thursday, June 5th. Do you want to go to this show? Can you get yourself to the City of London? If the answer is yes, that's amazing. Please email me at creativecontrol933@gmail.com. That's creative with a K, control with a K, 933@gmail.com. And tell me what your favorite episode of Creative Control has been so far and why. The most compelling answer wins this pair of tickets to see Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings in London, Ontario. Good luck.
Creative Control with Vish Khanna.
Zaki Ibrahim is a very creative singer and songwriter who splits her time between Toronto and Johannesburg. Over the past decade, she's established herself as one of the most daring and fascinating R&B electropop artists in North America, and her heady sci-fi-infused debut album, Every Opposite, was shortlisted for the Polaris Music Prize in 2013. This Sunday, June 8th, Ibrahim performs at the Field Trip Festival at Fort York in Toronto, along with people like Constantines, Fucked Up, Washed Out, Do Make Say Think, Gord Downie and the Sadies, Broken Social Scene, and more. A few months ago, Ibrahim and I caught up for a chat just after she played a noon hour concert at the University of Guelph, here in Guelph, Ontario. And we had a long chat about her life and her music. And that's what you're going to hear right now. This week, the Bookshelf Cinema is screening The Lunchbox, Only Lovers Left Alive, Searching for Sugar Man, Fed Up, and more. On Saturday, June 7th, the Bookshelf presents Sharon Salzberg at St. George's Church, reading from her book, Real Happiness at Work. And on Friday, June 6th, Trouble and Daughter celebrate the release of a new EP at the E-Bar with special guests Deli and the Rival Boys. The Bookshelf is an independently owned culture hub located at 41 Quebec Street in Guelph. Visit bookshelf.ca for more info. Jumpers, Coke, sweet Mary Jane. Shadow, walking, breathing, sleeping, feeling, pulling, tugging, and nothing, all in a day. And these dreams don't play. I've been keeping secrets up at 5 a.m, screaming, chasing demons away. Slipping again. Yeah, but I'm free when I'm falling. Ain't no looking back on. Ain't nothing is in order when we got nothing to pray for. Hey, all want the same, all want to break. We don't ever have a reason. Just want to change the season. All of my travels, all of the years. How are you doing?
I'm good.
That looks reasonable.
You project more.
I know, I'm a radio person.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. No, I won't do that.
I'm also going to talk on the side. I don't think of myself as that much of a projector, but it's okay. I think it's okay.
It's good.
It's fine.
It's controlled. It's not out of control.
You mean my voice?
Yeah.
Are you really? You're talking about my voice now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I used to think it was a little monotone.
But that's the thing, is that like it's actually, you're projecting,
yeah,
and there's tone in it, but you've got this kind of control on it. You've got your own style of speaking.
I do have my own style of speaking.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, I think we all do, don't we?
Yeah. Well, I don't like to hear myself speaking recorded.
Why not?
I don't know. It's weird. I'm like, do I speak like that?
Oh, well, is that the whole thing where you're like, but you're a recording artist. Don't you have to hear your voice all the time? Oh, singing you hear all the time.
Singing is different. It's like playing an instrument. Speaking is like, also because, like in certain situations, my accent is funny. Like I flip from certain words, and you know what I mean?
Because you've lived in so many different places?
Yeah, I think it's because of South Africa and Canada.
Oh.
Mostly.
Okay.
So there's like certain the ways of saying things. It's not like, you know, when you're in England, you start speaking with an English accent. Because here we are. Yes.
So good. You know, I was just interviewing someone, an American artist, and he didn't know me, but I was interviewing him on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, early on, like 15 minutes in, he says, oh man, I really got to congratulate you on that interview you did with Leonard Cohen at Leonard Cohen's house. And I said, oh, no, that's Gian Gomeshi. That's not me.
Uh-huh.
He's like, oh, I thought it was you. Like, you guys have the same way of talking. And
no.
I was like, oh, well, we worked at the same place, but we never had the same training. Like, I don't think I sound anything like him, but just kind of, I don't know. And I clearly don't right now.
Was it an awkward moment? Was it like, I think we're in the wrong interview?
Well, I've never been confused for another brown man on the phone, like sight unseen.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of odd. I thought that was weird.
That's funny.
Anyway, the last time I saw you play in Guelph was at the University Center for a noon hour concert. You did this about 6 or 7 years ago.
This one, this exact courtyard?
Yeah.
Was it with Viofa Kature?
Were you opening? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think both of us were.
That's right.
Performing that day.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I'm curious because, you know, you put on kind of a nighttime show, if I might say.
Yeah.
Not in a dirty way. But you put on like a nighttime show. So I'm curious, like when you're playing at lunch.
Yeah.
What's that like? Are you hungry, first of all? Do you get hungry playing?
Very hungry. My stomach just growled louder than I'm speaking right now. No, I actually, it is a nighttime show, and I was kind of thinking, what am I going to do to make it not such a nighttime show? Should I put on like aerobics gear, and like a headband, like a sweatband and stuff, so it could be like, okay, everyone, like you know how like in countries like Japan they do like the exercises in the morning.
Yeah, that's right.
I was thinking maybe about getting an exercise program started for those who wanted to kind of like get the blood flowing at lunchtime, that are maybe studying, that are maybe in the middle of a paper or in the middle of an assignment and just wanted to kind of like switch it up a little bit.
You thought you would perform some kind of community service,
mm-hmm.
and have everyone do some kind of aerobic activity.
Huh. Yeah. But then that just, I was like, oh, that's just too much. It's going to take away too much from the intimidating soldiers, rebel army thing.
Yeah, you have a very theatrical show than the last, like, not the last time I've seen you, but I guess since the last time you were here. It mm-hmm. seems a bit more energetic. There's a choreography to it going on. You have a mysterious kind of group of people with you on stage. Can you talk a little bit about them? And also, how this came about?
Well, the story of Every Opposite is the story that kind of was inspired by Every Opposite, and at the same time, Every Opposite was inspired by the story as well, is kind of this this sci-fi fable that's like told far into the future about this time where everything kind of changed and people started thinking for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say. The soldiers on stage are kind of part of the rebel army.
The rebel army.
They're part of the rebel army.
Of some unknown destination, or
of the free thinkers, of the people that are able to think outside the grid. So in the beginning of the show, there's this. Sometimes, depending on what the show is, there are different intros. But this one today, and a lot of times, there's this intro that says. That I have to paraphrase a little bit, that it, like, in the time of kind of controlled thinking and you know, the world power outlawed these people who are able to use other parts of their brain to think outside the box. They're able to move things and travel in their dreams and move things. What's it called? Telekinesis?
Telekinesis. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Teleportation kind of stuff?
Like just stuff, like stuff where your brain, like they're able to use parts of their brains that people could have, like, were able to use thousands of years ago.
I see. What is the origin? What is the story that you're talking about?
This is every opposite.
This is the narrative of every opposite. Yeah. It's not something you derived from something else. No, this is actually what's going on every opposite. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, the Public Enemy number one is the main character, myself, who is able to travel in her dreams. I'm going to speak about myself in third person.
Sure.
This character is able to travel in her dreams, so she's able to gather all sorts of information and kind of like find out the real truth and that kind of thing. Find out every side of the coin. Find out every opposite way of thinking and be able to see different perspectives.
Hmm.
And I guess the song that illustrates that is The Dew, like one of the, like her finding her calling. And my story, my screenplay that I wrote alongside this album, this is like getting really long-winded.
I didn't know all this stuff. It's good.
It's set in Africa. It's set in somewhere in Africa. Not necessarily South Africa, but drawing on influences like Sangoma, which are like kind of the healers, it's you know, through lineage, like you either receive a calling or you don't, like, and it's like a genetic kind of passed down kind of gift where you're able to heal and feel certain things in a certain way, and they're called Sangoma.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be someone who's got a 9-to-5 computer job, going to the club on weekends and blah, blah, blah. And if you receive your calling, it might come in like a series of dreams, or it might come in, you know, in different ways.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like inspired by that kind of coming to the realization that, okay, this is actually something that I need to pay attention to. People have been said to lose their minds if they ignore it. So the song, The Dew, is kind of this housewife that is just like the Ballad of Lucy Jordan, kind of that kind of thing where or she's this housewife that kind of gets the calling.
Okay.
The dew. Yeah.
Okay.
And
wait, is that Public Enemy number one? Is she the housewife?
She's the housewife is Public Enemy number one.
Okay.
Because she's like this innocent, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go walk through the whole story, but
it's quite interesting. It's also very ambitious for, this is your debut full-length album, right?
Yeah.
You've had some EPs.
Yes.
And so you go all out and you come up with this multi-layered concept record. I mean, have you just been sitting on this idea for years and you just...
No, I wrote some songs and there were some themes that were coming up around it. And it was like, I wrote some songs and I kind of let the record... I kind of had to walk away altogether from like the idea of I'm going to make this record, and I got super, super conceptual about it, and I kind of had to tear it down and just be like, okay, I need to just go and find myself or something, you know, and move to South Africa. Why not?
No, wait a minute. Hang on a second. This is getting into a whole thing because let's back up a little bit. Where would you say you're originally from? You're from Canada originally, right?
Born in Vancouver. I was born in Vancouver. I grew up between Nanaimo and Vancouver Island,
uh-huh,
and Cape Town, South Africa.
Yeah, that's quite a commute. And Nanaimo, yeah. Nanaimo is an interesting community, right?
Yeah, I guess you can say that. Yeah.
I feel like, and I might be wrong, it's either Nelson or Nanaimo. No, I think it's Nelson.
Probably Nelson.
Nelson has the no hand drumming law. Do you know about that?
What? No.
I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to hand drum. There's so many hippies in British Columbia
that it's
they actually had to institute a law. Yeah.
What?
I think it's Nelson. Nanaimo.
That's amazing.
Wait, is Diana Krall from Nanaimo?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Man. So Diana Krall is from Nanaimo.
And so is the couple from Young Galaxy that was on the shortlist.
Oh,
Polaris.
That's right. Stephen and Catherine, I think their names are.
Yeah.
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 They're from Nanaimo.
Yeah, at the Polaris concert,
the gala thing.
The gala, yeah. Steve came up to me and says, "Is your brother by any chance named Hanif?" And I was like, "What? yeah. He's like, did you go to Wellington? I was like, yes, I went to Wellington. Yeah. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I hear your stomach, or you might be expecting.
Yeah. It's like serious, like.
I'm sorry. You play at a lunch hour. You miss lunch.
No, I think it's fascinating. I'm okay. I think it's.
Do you want some food? You're not allowed to eat in the studio.
I will have some food, but that's just cool because it's like a thunderstorm happening.
I kind of heard some stuff going on. Yeah, at the Polaris thing, that's weird because you're public enemy number one, and this guy got into your ID. This guy from Young Galaxy.
I don't tell anybody. But I don't want to have to kill you.
Anyway, we met at the gala. Do you remember talking to me at the gala?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I
was talking for Ox TV at the time, and it was chaos. That was a chaotic scene. But you seemed very thrilled to be there and to be highlighted on this thing, because it's quite a feat for someone making their first album.
Exactly. Why not? Why not? I mean, I'm always thrilled to be... I'm like working... This is my dream job.
It's your dream job?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like... To be doing this, to be traveling and making music and, like, being, you know, asked to do performances, whether it's for, like, this Polaris thing is all, like, to be nominated for it for the first try of a But that's what I'm saying is, like, I'm super thrilled to
be... Well, people like, and, you know, I put myself in this category, too. People have been championing your work for years. Like,
that's
amazing. Since you kind of, which would be what? Like, I think in you got to Toronto, what, 2006 or something?
2000?
Yeah. So ever since then, you know, you hit...
I didn't get to Toronto in 2006. I was in Toronto in 2001.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I just started making... I put out an independent record in 2006.
Oh, sorry.
With District 6.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the second EP was with Sony Red.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then,
I was like working like at Vice on Queen Street. I was working as a driver. I was doing like catering. I was all over the place. I had like 5 jobs at a time.
Yeah, well, you need to live in Toronto.
It's true.
After coming from... Nanaimo, or wherever. So you're born in Nanaimo,
Born in Vancouver.
Vancouver, sorry. Yeah. And then where do you end up? Because you have a checkered history in terms of...
Yeah, because it was back and forth. I went to South Africa for the first time when I was 3 years old to live with my grandparents.
Oh, okay.
Or to visit them. And then I ended up staying and enrolling in school and that kind of thing. And I did a lot of back and forth thing during those years. I went back to Nanaimo to go to high school and then did a year... outside of that back in Cape Town. And then when high school was over, I moved to Vancouver for the year and then ended up going to South Africa from there. And then from there, I went to Toronto 2001.
So where in South Africa?
Cape Town.
Cape Town, right. Sorry. Yeah. And is that where you are now?
I'm in Cape Town now, but I last year I lived 2 years in Johannesburg.
Oh, okay.
Because it's kind of where there's somewhat of an industry.
Hmm.
Cape Town is absolutely beautiful. And I miss it all the time. But if I wanted to base myself in South Africa, it's kind of like I have to kind of be where the media is, and I have to kind of like, you know, because I can't be flying every...
It's the equivalent of living in Toronto weekend. Versus somewhere like Nanaimo.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Same thing. You need, given what you do...
I would love to be able to live in Nanaimo. My mom is there.
Okay, so
we have a beautiful backyard. But deer come, and my mom complains, like, deer come? You know, I mean, deer come into the yard and eat the...
you just said deer come and you cut yourself. I understand. Yeah.
No, stop saying that.
Sorry. Anyway, yeah, that's right. So the deer come by. That sounds good. But I mean, the actual... You go from Vancouver to Nanaimo. No, sorry. You're in Cape Town, Johannesburg, and you've got family there and you've got family here. Is this what's keeping you kind of in both places? Just the family thing?
Probably. It definitely helps. My dad's not in South Africa. My dad's from South Africa. That's the South African connection.
And your dad has a history in kind of the entertainment business, so to speak.
In radio.
In radio.
Yeah.
What did he do?
Bush Radio.
But what is that?
In Cape Town. Bush Radio is a community radio station. And in 94, 95, they ended up kind of like... building it up. My dad moved back to South Africa. They started building it up into an institution. So there was broadcasting school. There was a broadcasting school. There was like everything from like a daycare to like kids programs to they still run like, so they ended up buying the whole building and turning it into kind of like this institution where they'd hold conferences and stuff like that on community radio. Mm-hmm. They would have like broadcasting courses you can take, production courses, and like kids programs. Like literally there are 8-year-olds that are on radio and have a show.
Wow.
So they're teaching them like that. So my dad's really, he's retired now. He's suffered some really heavy blows the last couple of years. So he's
health-wise?
Yeah. Oh. He had a stroke a couple of years ago and he's still kind of in recovery. Oh. He's 73 years old.
Sorry to hear that.
He's good though. His spirits are amazing. But yeah, his whole thing was that it's such a powerful thing. It's such a powerful tool, like media, obviously. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. To be educated in it is as important as to be able to be educated on how to use it, as well as how to read it, how to kind of decipher what's being fed to you, that kind of thing. He's kind of big on that kind of thing.
So did that sort of outlook instill in you an appreciation for
media
and and I suppose, I mean, when you're talking about the media, they're reporting on, you know, the media will report on an artist like yourself. So on some level, you're kind of at least peripherally in the same realm as your father on some level.
Yeah, except for, I mean, for me to kind of pay attention to a lot of media and a lot of like, be it social or be it TV or whatever, like I find that I don't know what it is. I'm not exactly sure what it is. My brother's a TV head. My sisters are all into their series and stuff like that. I've never been into TV or radio for different reasons. I used to love radio plays.
Radio plays?
Yeah. Hmm. And I used to make them. I used to make radio plays.
Did your dad help you or something?
No, he never helped
me. Oh, you just made radio plays. Huh.
Yeah, I don't know why. And then when I went to Bush Radio and like volunteered there, I was like, I want to make radio plays. And so I made a couple radio plays and then I got involved with like the kid, like the teenage radio play thing and did some, anyway.
And so you wrote these radio plays?
Yeah, I write radio plays. I've been writing screenplays.
You have this very theatrical bent to you.
Well, I just like the idea of like telling stories, leaving something open to the imagination. It's a nice thing to do. I don't know.
No, it is a nice thing to do. But you like doing this stuff, but you don't personally engage
in
with other media forms per se that are doing kind of
like
narrative based things. Like movies? Do you watch movies?
Yes, I love watching movies. Obviously, they're stories.
Yeah, but okay, you say obviously, but TV, when you sort of...
And series, and some series are like amazing stories. I just mean like...
Well, what's a series you like? Like what's a show that you would say like, yeah, I like that show. I would watch that show.
I just started watching House of Lies with Don Cheadle.
Yes. I've heard about this. I haven't seen it yet.
I like the way it's done. It's kind of like it breaks down doublespeak.
Okay.
And it's just like there's so much chaos in the way you can sell someone on your worth in the universe. Like at every turn you have to kind of like, as a consultant, he's having to kind of like convince people that they need him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah. And it's really interesting how they've broken it down and how they've laid it out and then just kind of deciphering all of the plays. I just really appreciate it.
Okay. I haven't seen the show.
The latest one that I've discovered. And then before that was Teen Wolf.
The MTV Teen Wolf?
I guess it's MTV. I don't know. I was just like perusing on the illegal bootleg sites of streaming because internet is terrible in South Africa.
Oh.
So I'm just like, oh my goodness, there's the internet here. This is amazing. And it's so fast.
Oh, there's no,
There is internet, but it's so bad. So
you can't watch videos. You can't stream stuff.
You can, but it'll take you, you have to download it. Streaming, yeah, it's a lost cause unless you have the highest. And even that is like kind of average.
Not that great, huh?
Yeah.
You don't consider yourself sort of an internet junkie. You're able to survive?
No, yeah, for sure. Okay. In fact, I just walk away sometimes for for periods of time.
Yeah, like you've got a Twitter and all that stuff, but you don't use it that often.
And I do Twitter binges, where I'm like, "Hey guys, what's going on?" Hey, and then I just like retweet.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was trying to get at this when we were both at the Polaris thing about, and I kind of asked you some. In retrospect, I think I asked you some tough questions, given that you just came off stage.
And I was like, "Yeah, well, here we are."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, it was hard to hear each other and it was a bit complicated, but I was trying to get a kind of suss out what you feel your musical background is in terms of where you are now. Because I think for some of us, we're like, oh, she's kind of in the hip hop realm. Oh, she's kind of in R&B and soul, which is this, I don't know, vaguely reductive, somewhat problematic umbrella of like,
I guess so.
She makes black music, like that's what you're
thing.
Getting at.
That's it the gets, thing. I just wonder, like, if everyone kind of gets that question. I mean, even because I mean, like, someone like, say, I'm not putting myself necessarily in the same realm, but say Bjork, like,
exactly,
what is Bjork, experimental? She'd probably punch you in your face if she said that.
Well, she'd punch me in my face anyway.
Experiment this, did she?
No, I said she would.
Oh.
I've not been punched by Bjork yet. I'm just saying she's a puncher. That's my point.
Yeah, she
she's been known to punch.
Like right in the part, like it might wind you.
No, she's great. Face? She's fantastic. Oh. And I think she's very respectful of people who are respectful of her. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, that's a person that is impossible to pigeonhole. And you see yourself, when you say, I don't want to put myself in that category, but you also see yourself as someone that, like, look, I don't fit a particular aesthetic, generic distinction.
Well, this is the thing, too. If it, like, to be, like, to get kind of personal in a funny way, it's like, if you look at my racial background, right? If I were to look at my racial background as far as, like, where I come from, like, yeah, like my genes or whatever.
Do you want to maybe elaborate upon that just so we understand?
What I'm saying is I look like I could be, like I just look kind of like miscellaneous brown person.
Yeah.
Right?
Same here.
Right. So, and it's like, no, I'm like, I've gone through stages of being like, not stages, but like, I know my blackness. My dad was a, you know, he was very, he instilled, you know, like a sense of like cultural power, like a very, you know, black power, that kind of thing, as well as my mother's very British Scottishness.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So there it was very easy, very plain to see I'm biracial, which I think is very wrong.
You like, think that is a
I think
term?
It's wrong. Yeah. Like a biracial. I'm multiracial. I have multi experiences. I'm coming from different things. My, you know.
Oh, you're saying that the actual prefix "bi" is problematic for you. You prefer multi?
That, it's not like that. I don't know actually what it is, because I'm many things. Like, we're all many things. It's like, well, what are you? Are you Indian?
Well, it's complicated. When people say, "Hey, where are you from?"
Yeah.
I say, I was born in Kitchener, Ontario.
Yeah.
And they say, no. Like, where's your family from? And I say, oh, we live in Cambridge, Ontario. I'm difficult about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. But no, that's also kind of important to do, too.
Well, that's where I'm from. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'm a Canadian citizen. My parents are from India. But, like, I'm not going to... I don't... And, you know, that's hard for them. I don't know if you have this experience, but my parents, it's hard for them to reconcile that I don't identify necessarily as Indian. Even though I am. I mean, physically or whatever...
I think, I don't know what the thing is, but like, I think I'm more of a protester of like, I don't know, maybe I'm just, my brother is that person. It's like, I'm Canadian. That's what I am. I'm Canadian. I grew up in Canada.
Yeah.
I played lacrosse. I am da 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 da. I'm like, but you're African and you're Malay. Like, there's this Cape Malay ingredient as well. And you're this and you're that. You should embrace that, and you should, you know, that's your identity. And really, the identity is all those things. Canadian.
Yeah, Canadian, but I mean, but what are we supposed to do as people with that whole identity thing? Like, it almost, I'm not saying it's a burden, but like, you know, it's all origins are kind of accidental. You end up where you end up, and you're living your life. And I mean, what are we supposed to do with that responsibility of like, oh, you're everything, you know, because people are foisting that upon us. Like, yeah. Oh, you know, you've got to be proud of your heritage.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I'm proud of it on some level, but every day I got stuff to do. What am I supposed to be proud of?
Yeah, and it's very, very weird. And there's this thing, it's like this back and forth kind of like, can't you just be? Can't you just,
yeah.
Can't you just, because it's at every turn, something's offensive.
Yes, you know what exactly.
I mean? It's like, you're supposed to be acting like that. Like, why are you acting like that? Like, you're supposed to be acting. So there's a parallel with the music. It's kind of like, it comes from so many things.
It does. I mean,
it's coming from, you know, it's hip hop is definitely one of the kind of foundations. And then, but I mean, even at that time, it was so many different things. I was a weird kid. I listened to a lot of different things. I listened to, when I was a kid, probably because of my dad and because he had a lot of records hanging around, like Tom Waits. I loved Tom Waits.
I love Tom Waits.
I loved Pink Floyd. I loved, what are they called? Dr. Hook?
Mm-hmm.
Like all these different things, and then like the first record I had was Sade. It wasn't a record, it was a tape. And then I got Whitney Houston, and then I got, like, I don't know, like there are all these influences and stuff like that, and then I guess then there's the path to where I am now.
Yeah.
Which kind of took me through all these different, like...
But I can hear, like, the people you've described have kind of explored sort of the sonic realm in really inventive ways. A lot of them are great singers. Some of the people you've mentioned are distinctive singers.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, because, you know, I think some people regard you as a singer.
Yes.
And I'm curious what...
Songwriter. Singer-songwriter.
Singer-songwriter,
but then if
that
I'm
means.
Like, oh, singer-songwriter, Zaki Ibrahim is going to be coming to the lunch hour today at Guelph University, and most likely the majority of people will expect someone to just kind of like...
acoustic guitar.
Have a guitar and sing some folk.
Yeah. Yeah, music. That's a weird... That I don't use that term. When I'm introducing someone, I say singer and songwriter. I always make a point of saying that because I don't like that little hyphen. It's a little confusing.
Singer-songwriter.
Singer and songwriter. But yeah, no, these distinctions are all foisted upon us, and you're in this realm too. Like, do you consider yourself first a vocalist? Like, is that your strong suit? Or because it seems to me, with every opposite and your live show, there's a lot going on.
There is.
And you're a strong lyricist. If people actually delve into it, but it does seem like the initial focus was on this great voice.
Okay, well, there's that, but I mean, I've always kind of been like, I'm not really a singer. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that sounds like silly because that's what I do, but I'm someone who makes things up.
Are you a conceptualist who happens to sing?
Maybe, but I mean, I like to make things up. I like to make up sounds. I like to make my voice sound a certain way, or I like to, I don't know. I think it's been a journey to get here. I'm calling myself a singer now because I sing and I practice and I use different techniques to kind of like become more seasoned as that singer, but it's, you know, I wasn't always calling myself a singer. I kind of...
It strikes me that this goes back to the conversation the part of the conversation we were just having minutes ago about how it's another thing where, like, something external is trying to figure out what you are and you're just trying to be.
As much as we've just, like, talked about it for a really long time, I actually am okay with it. Like, you can actually call me and what you want, and you can actually think what you want and have fun with that.
Okay. You're at peace with whatever people think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's
it's
good.
Only when I'm asked to like put it in
a bio or something.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. It's complicated. So what is next for you? You've completed every opposite. It's done very well. You've got some shows coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But what, and you know, I was watching you perform today and I was watching you engage with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
That's clearly a big part of it. Performance is a huge part of this for you, right?
Yes.
It's not something you take for granted or anything.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
And at one point you ran into the crowd to try to engage the oldest person there. You kind of came up to him and did a little shimmy.
Super awkward.
That was funny.
And then I was like, the stage is really far away. I gotta go now.
You just did a little jog. So yeah, I mean, you clearly are having fun. As much as this is a, it sounds like there's a lot of heavy stuff going on the record. Yeah. A lot of heavy issues. You mentioned that.
Yeah.
You know, there's things you want people to talk, think about, but you're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's important.
Yes.
So what is your next move? It took about 4 years between your last, no, 4 or 5 years between your EP and this record.
I finished my record. I finished my record in May last year.
Oh, you did? Okay. May of 2012.
12.
It came out
June, July in South Africa.
Oh, okay. That's very quick.
It just got released now in Canada in, where are we?
We are in Ontario.
A couple of months ago.
In October, yeah.
It was like maybe October?
Well, no, it's October now.
I mean,
it
was September.
Okay.
Maybe it was September.
Well,
I don't know. It was maybe August. I don't know. It was just released like a month and a half ago or something like that. In Canada.
No, it couldn't have been because the Polaris thing, it must have been before June. You wouldn't have qualified.
Polaris was when?
Well, the Polaris Gala was the 23rd or whatever, September. But you can't qualify unless your record, I think it's June or July. I can't remember. But you had to have released it by a certain time.
I released the record. It was out on Bandcamp.
Oh.
Since June.
Okay, then that's why it counted.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
But as far as like physical copies and having distribution and that kind of thing was just a minute ago. But what I'm just trying to do right now is coordinate my time so that I can get my studio time in. So that's what I'm doing every day.
So you have a concept for the new record or an idea?
I'm messing with songwriting. I'm challenging myself with songwriting. I am wanting to move towards, I don't know how to like, it's not a concept. It's just more like, I guess my intention or philosophy around what it means to be successful, which is to be present, which is to be honest, which is to be kind of like, feet on the ground, able to live a healthy life while doing the thing that you love, right?
I see you're trying to either define or redefine what success means.
Well, that's no. It's just to me. That's what I think it is.
Yeah. So you're trying to define what it means to you.
Yes.
Okay. And yes. That's sort of the umbrella concept.
And I mean, music to me has always been a manifestate, like it's manifested things. Like I've written love songs of a love that I want, or I've written, you know, something that it's either a reflection, an addressing or like kind of a manifestation.
Wishful yeah. kind of thinking situation.
Like, yeah.
So you figured if you sing and write about success and define it in your own terms, you will achieve it potentially.
Yeah, and then I'm also kind of like playing with a couple of different storylines too, but it's not a concept thing. I think I'd like to tell stories and capture moments and just really kind of play with that songwriting thing.
Okay. That sounds cool. I can't wait to hear that. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
So if people want more information about you, where should they go right now, Miss Internet Phobe?
Well, Digiphobe.
Digiphobe, sure.
I would say like information about me, maybe check Wikipedia.
Really? Wikipedia? You're sending people to Wikipedia. What is your website?
I don't know.
You don't know your website address?
My website at the moment is a splash page that takes you to Twitter, Facebook, the other things.
Yeah. The other things. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel Bandcamp. Like it's like, anyway, people can just go on Google or Yahoo and find out. Type in Zaki Ibrahim.
Yes. And it's Zaki Ibrahim, which is Ibrahim.
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 I'm sorry. Did I mispronounce it?
It's okay. So people always try to like put ham in there, but
they're just hungry. It. Like you. Yeah. Their stomachs are rumbling. They want to have lunch.
Yeah.
Zaki, thank you so much for the chat.
Cool.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks again for checking out Creative Control with Vish Khanna. You can email me about the show at creativecontrol933@gmail.com.
That's creative with a K, control with a K, 933@gmail.com. You can also follow our Twitter at Vish Creative, VishKreative. And you can also like our Facebook page. A version of this show airs on CFRU in Guelph every Wednesday at noon Eastern. And you can listen to that online at CFRU.ca, or if you're in the KW region, at 93.3 FM in Guelph. You can also sign up for the weekly mailing list for the podcast and the show at vishkana.com, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I believe that is everything I wanted to tell you. Thank you once again.